Books of the Bible. John was a disciple and close friend of Jesus. John's Gospel presents Jesus as the Word become flesh, God in human form. He also emphasizes belief in Christ as the only way, truth, and life. God writes so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, we may have life in His name. Believe in Jesus today and have life everlasting. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of once famous Hollywood actors, this is Wretched Radio. I don't think Jack Lemmon or Walter Matthau are still alive. They're no longer with us. And neither is Gene Hackman. I didn't know he still was alive. 94, 95 years old, and he was found dead in his house, his wife dead in their house, the dog dead in the closet. Whatever. What, Jimmy, did they report what went to, it wasn't carbon monoxide.
Yeah, that's about all I've heard, that it wasn't that, and they didn't suspect foul play.
Yeah, so whatever it is, it was bad, because that just doesn't happen all by itself. And it's tragic, we can all affirm that, but it would also be a life lesson if you're young and you think being a celebrity or being an influencer is the ticket to happiness. I got to tell you, it won't deliver. It will disappoint you mightily. Furthermore, seeking fame, ooh, that is a dangerous game. I think there is only one who is supposed to be famous. One. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, simply because I'm working on it for the sermon on Sunday at alvaredabiblechurch.org, the love for God that He commands us to have is to be total and complete. And then He follows up with, don't call somebody rabbi. Nobody, don't call anybody master or father. One leader, one master, one rabbi. Well, that's it. God. All goes to Him. And when human beings deflect some of that and take it for themselves, oof. We're not meant for that. You are not meant to be adulated. Only God is. So be careful before you go about the business of seeking fame. It is fraught with peril and danger. It doesn't mean that a Christian can't become a celebrity. I'm just saying it ain't easy, and that there are very unusual challenges that go with that role. And you've got to be so careful how you deflect the adulation and you give it to God Himself. Otherwise, I got to tell you, how many celebrities have ended their lives with a complete whimper, with just complete, just destroyed life because of fame? Maybe that's a lesson that we can learn from the life of Gene Hackman. Celebrity, watch what you ask for. 877-282-2337. If you got yourself anything you would like to express with or without Madonna in the background. And you can also send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, God has graciously gifted me with repentance from a decade and a half of pornography. And recently, confessing my sin to my wife of 7 years. We are working through the fallout of this, in which she has been gracious beyond comprehension. My question is, what does biblical leadership look like in this season? How do I lead my wife when I've been the source of such immense pain?
Another life lesson, young man. Stop watching porn now. Just be done with it. Every time you put it on your screen, you're putting a gun to your head. You're just wrecking your life. You're destroying the lives of others. Your behavior is very displeasing to your God, and you are not being the man that you could be. Just be done with it. I don't think that I'd have to plead with you to, hey, don't drink that arsenic. Don't, please. No, come on, man. Oh, come on. Just, hey, well, I understand that you just drink a little arsenic once in a while, but don't drink that much arsenic. That would just be ludicrous. And pornography is probably worse than that poison. It is poison. It's deadly. Stop it. And by the way, just a bit of a teaser. Coming up this fall, this is on track. I wrote a book called Play the Man about this subject, the expulsive power of new affections that are needed to drive pornography out. and we're going to be giving it away. So get ready. We're going to be doing another big giveaway. It's going to be a little bit different this time. We're going to be creating little cards, like postcard size, with something catchy, with a QR code that takes them to Play the Man so that they can just read it right there. And we want to give away hundreds of thousands of these cards. So be ready for that this fall when the kids return to the campus, because I think they're in the South. They're like done in March, aren't they? Just ridiculously early. Nevertheless, that's coming up because porn is such a pervasive problem. Now, to the fellow who admitted it to his wife, first thing I would do if you want to be a man, thank her. Thank her for her graciousness. Be effusive. Be unrelentingly grateful that she is treating you with mercy and grace, because you have genuinely scalded her. You think about the devastation when somebody would get a vat of hot oil poured on them. That's what you did to your wife. And as you claim, she's being gracious beyond imagination. That's where I would start. I would go on a campaign of gratitude that would show her how wonderful I think she is and how Christ-like I think that she is being. Number two, you're going to have to start earning trust. And you've got to know it's not going to be immediate. You've got to know that. And so I would start as a man doing everything to be transparent, everything. And by the way, part of that would be I would get off my phone so fast. I wouldn't, you like, unless she's like standing right there. I want to show it until she releases the reins, because the reins are in her hands. Until she lightens up, here's my phone, honey. I'm home. Here it is. Please, if you want to, check it out. Here, dear, this is what I'm going to do. Every night I come home, my phone, it's all yours. My computer, here's the password. It's all yours. If you want to bring it to a shop and have some tech geek go through it because you think that I might be hiding stuff, I will not feel bad. You have every right to do that. So I would be transparent and I would be aggressive about that until she goes, okay, enough already. Because you've got to show yourself to be a new and a changed man. Third, start being godly. Don't just stop looking at porn. Start cherishing her. And by the way, if the bedroom is a little bit chilly, too bad. You better cope with it, because you need to warm her up. And I would work on that. I would have zero expectation of intimacy for a rather generous season. Let her make those calls, but play the man and act like the guy that she would be interested in being intimate with. Fourth, be a spiritual leader. Now, she might find it a little off-putting if you start just, hey, we're going to start doing Bible study. We're going to start, you start doing them. Invite her to join, but if she doesn't, you keep doing. Show it. Just show it. And she will start to get the idea. I don't know how long it's going to take, which, by the way, might be number five. You take it for as long as she needs to give it. You just let her take her time. And should she ever get upset with you because you did something, you said something, whatever, or should, tough. Take it. Man up. Play the man. Be a big boy. You've earned it. It's okay. She can feel hurt for as long as she needs to. And it's your job to follow those aforementioned five steps and every other thing that you can do to demonstrate, honey, I am going to be a man that is worthy of your affection and trust. Go to church. Pray more. Start reading your Bible more. Don't do it for show like a Pharisee, but do it. That's what you're supposed to be doing anyway. And then she's going to see with time, whatever number of days, weeks, months, years that takes, she's going to see a different man and she will begin to follow happily, cheerfully, and increasingly confidently. Play the man. 877-28. Would you add anything to that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would add to that would be, I believe you both are going to have some help walking through it. So I would just recommend going to biblicalcounseling.com and try to look for a biblical counselor in your area.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I maybe. I don't know that I would say that it is necessary. I say it could be.
Yeah,
maybe. Depends on how bad the devastation and the enslavement was. But yeah. I don't know that, does everybody need to go to a biblical counselor?
No, I don't think everybody needs to. I'm just saying in this situation, to help them both walk through the aftermath and how to walk through it biblically, I think it could be helpful.
Oh, it could, if things are shattered, yeah, you're going to need some help. Just based on the very little information we have from this particular email, she's responding well. So I would say this. So I think this is something that you can encourage. And honey, please, if you need another woman to walk alongside you with this and disclose those details in confidence, because, you know, we don't need that being spread. Please do. Please, it won't offend me. So if you need to pick a night, you go out to lunch with this woman at the church who is God, then I would encourage you to do that. But I would say this, be careful that you don't start correcting and fixing her. That's not your job, and it will not be received well. Let a godly woman in your church play that role. And if necessary, Jimmy, I would amen that. Get biblicalcounseling.com. If you cannot walk forward together, then that is precisely what biblical counseling is for. This is Wretched Radio.
You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. It tells you that your worth is found in self-esteem, that your security is found in human approval, and that your strength is found in emotional indulgence or cold, hard stoicism. It's all a trap. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This isn't just another self-help pep talk, never cheesy, never shallow, just powerful, practical, biblical truth that sets women free. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. If you're ready to ditch the world's empty solutions for something real, it's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there indeed is a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Whether you're tackling marriage challenges, parenting questions, or personal growth, Fortis Institute is ready with biblically grounded wisdom. We're not just offering commentary, we're providing a comprehensive toolkit for living boldly in an increasingly complex world. Through our daily podcasts and video content and live events, we're equipping believers to stand firm without wavering. And if you want to be part of something bigger, join the Fortis community today. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. It's Fortis Institute, where we're standing firm and standing together.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, He will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So you've got the gift of hospitality, do you? This is Wretched. Am I sounding better? I feel like I'm sounding better.
To yourself.
You're such a Barnabas. This is Wretched Radio. If you have got the gift of hospitality and you happen to have the gift of living somewhere near Alpharetta, Georgia, we sure could use your help. Dr. Jason Lyle. He's one of our Fortis fellows. He's going to be in town doing an event, Irrefutable Proof of Creation. You can register. It is free. It is an in-studio event, so you'll come to the Wretched Studios. We're going to have chairs set up. We've got some hospitality stuff that hopefully somebody will set up, and you will enjoy 10 mini lectures from Dr. Jason Lyle. It's 2 days, Friday and Saturday. You can attend one or both, whatever your schedule allows. That's March 21st and 22nd. Register by going to fortisinstitute.org/creation. If and you happen to be one who loves practicing hospitality and you are available on those days, oh, we sure could use your help with hospitality. Just taking care of all of our guests. We'd like to be good hosts and we just need help. So if you're willing to lend that sort of help and be a part of it, yeah, you'll get to watch Jason too, but you'll just help with making sure that everybody's got water, that there's snacks and nibbles, and that just, if anybody has a problem with the bathroom, whatever. We just want to take care of people well, and we could use your help. Simply send an email to fellows@fortisinstitute.org. fellows@fortisinstitute.org. Looking forward to that time with Jason. Don't forget, coming up March 13th, free webinar with Tim Challies on grief. Jimmy, are you just feeling like you and I are walking in some tall cotton? We got a lot of guys here that are just doing such outstanding stuff, and Jason is doing such a bang-up job leading it.
Oh, yeah.
Just to be a part of all of this, very, very exciting. And just as an aside, thank you for your support. I mean, we're just super grateful. In fact, as long as I brought that up, coming up in about a month, I think, we're going to be launching a campaign. We've got an initiative that is really aggressive, and it's going to find a lot of people that could use a lot of resources. And we're going to be inviting you to partner with us. We're going to have a match campaign, the whole shebang. So perhaps you could join us in our effort to just create as much good stuff as we can and get it into the hands of as many people as we can for F-R-E-E. Speaking of free, it doesn't cost you anything to text Wretched Stuff to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Brandon. Todd, I have received threats of termination from my job for wearing an evangelistic button from Living Waters that says, is there life after death?
Right.
Plot twist, both my boss and his wife are professing Christians. I feel betrayed and slightly confused. I want to wear it anyway, even if I'm fired for it. You have thoughts on this?
Well, this is hard for the heart that desires for people to be saved. I know that my take on this is going to maybe kind of go down a little bit rough, but here's my suggestion. You can keep the pin on and get fired, but you can't be mad at them for that because they have every right to do that. But I believe that as a Christian, you're called to be a good employee. And when you are being paid to do a job, in a sense, for those 8 hours, they own you. And they can have whatever rules they choose to have. And if that rule is, we don't want you wearing that pin, I do not believe you're sinning by being obedient. In fact, I think you're being obedient. Now, does that mean it's not disappointing? Does that mean that you aren't hurt by that? Does that mean that those people who run the place that claim to be Christians, that they aren't possibly, not necessarily, but possibly sinning? Sure, all of those emotions can be there, but I think we're called to be obedient employees. And when we are on somebody else's dime, when we're on the clock, we need to obey those. We need to super obey those rules. And I don't believe that your conscience should be besmirched by it. Take your evangelistic zeal and use it off the clock. You can still talk about you can even ask them. Now, I think legally, You can talk about anything you want to during break time and lunchtime, and certainly after hours, because they don't own you at that time. But I would still ask, hey, bosses, I'm sure that you've got reasons for this, and I will respect and honor those. So I'm going to be taking off this pin. But I would like to talk about these things when I'm not on the clock, meaning at break and lunchtime. Are you okay with that? And if they say yes, amen. If they say no, do I think that that's legal? I don't think it is, but I'm not a lawyer. But I would still honor that, because you want to be a good, submissive, hardworking employee. And I don't think God is going to be upset with you because you're being obedient. Then use your time, when it is yours, to share the gospel with as many people you can, including fellow employees. This is a conscience issue. I get that. And this can be hard. I understand that. And I would love to spend more time with you if necessary, because I would never want you to override your conscience. That's a dangerous thing. But I would really try to encourage you. I would be running to talking about the emphasis that Peter has in 1 Peter about being a good slave. You got a bad man, be a good slave. Why? Because there's stuff at stake here. There's bigger things at play. God is doing bigger moves than just what's happening at the plant. He's building his kingdom. And so he commands me, here's your role in that. You be a good employee. You submit to those rotten bosses. You just be a super server, so that they ask about the reason for the hope that lies within you. And that could include your professing Christian bosses, or they might feel convicted by it. They might have a change of heart. But as you go, my encouragement would be, have a cleansed conscience by knowing you're not sinning by being a good, obedient employee. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Douglas. Todd, why doesn't God reveal himself publicly?
That's it. That's the whole shebang, right? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't God show himself publicly? Well, yeah. First of all, I would say he did. He has, in the person of Jesus Christ. And we have a written record of it. Please note this. A public appearance does not guarantee conversion. I mean, we have that historical record. Look at the number of people that Jesus Christ preached to. Look at the number of people that Jesus healed. How many people were following Jesus when he was crucified and resurrected? I think the good guess would be about 500. 500. I am certain he healed more than 500 people. Why didn't they believe in him? Because miracles don't save. A personal appearance from God does not guarantee salvation. It's a heart issue. And so to the person that you might be witnessing to say, hey, why doesn't God present himself? Here's what you can tell them. If God presented himself to you right now, it's not going to change your heart. It's unless, of course, he just terrified you into submission and you fell to your knees, which you would, by the way. Actually, you'd die if you saw God. But the point is, you're still going to hate him. You need to be born again from above. That's what needs to happen. And we have a perfect record of our perfect Savior who accomplished everything so that we can be reconciled to God. And so you can encourage the person that you're working to, an appearance from God isn't going to save you. Besides, he already appeared. And here's the testimony right here. Here's the eyewitness testimony that is uncorrupted and that is so totally substantiated by its internal testimony that you cannot deny its veracity. You've got everything you need, but the problem is not an appearance from God, a miracle from God, it's your heart. So witness to him and preach the law and the gospel. We have something better than a transfiguration, said Peter. We have the word of God, and that's why we use it when we witness. 877-282-2337.
All right, from Anonymous, Todd, if I were to find a book from another religion, like the Book of Mormon, in a place like a hotel or nursing home, would it be right for me to throw it away to prevent someone else from reading heretical material?
Well, there's another one I feel. We all want to do that. Okay, I have done that, I'll be honest. I've done that with the Book of Mormon, not the hotel thing. But maybe I'm just giving myself a pass, but I think that that's why they put them, they want people to take them. Well, I took them. What I did with them, that's up to me. But do I believe that you should go about the business of destroying somebody's property? I don't know that we're given permission to do that. That could lead to all kinds of vigilantism. You know, hey, I'm driving by a Hindu temple. Can I torch it? I mean, it's bad, right? So can I destroy it? You'd go, well, no. And so I think I would lean toward, as much as you'd like to ditch it, and maybe in some circumstances you might be able to justify it, I would say as a principle and a rule, we obey the law. We don't destroy other people's property, and we have more confidence in our Bible. Don't worry, the Book of Mormon, God is not intimidated or threatened by it. It's a horrible book, but the kingdom will not crumble because there's another copy sitting in a hotel room. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.